Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Leonard, author of Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Your Life and host of this podcast, Incredible Life Creator. And today, my guest is Mr. Sean Malone. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Dr. Kim, how are you today?
I am great. I love your sunny background there.
Thank you.
But just so everybody can get to know you, I'm just going to read your short bio. So, Sean Malone is the CMO, co-founder of Flowchart, and comes from nearly 3 decades of studying communication, specifically high ticket sales and the lost art of prospecting. He and his teams have successfully grown more than a handful of seven-figure businesses and sold a few, and have guided 4 organizations into the 8 figures. He has personally closed over $130 million in his career. He stays relentlessly focused on solving the revenue problem for business owners, so they can experience the growth and success they deserve. He is a loving hubby, cat dad, disc golfer, and sell by chat expert. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Sean.
Nailed it. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here, Dr. Kim. I think the work you do is inspiring, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to chat with you today. Hopefully, we can share some useful information with everybody.
Yes, that'd be great. So, why don't you start out by just telling us your story, how you started out?
Yeah, I could start. I think I'll start just kind of like when I came out of college. So, like when I came out of college, like most people, right? I'm 42 now, so probably can relate with a lot of people that are listening to this. When I came out of college, I really had only kind of one question on my mind. How do you make a boatload of money? That's what I wanted to do, right? Like, 'cause I was like, I think like money would solve all the, like money doesn't buy you happiness, or money doesn't buy you happiness, but it solves a lot of problems, is what I'll say. Like going back to your book, I think what you do and the work you do is valuable because visualization is really important. And, that's been a big part of my life and journey as well. But when I came out of college, I had this question, like, how do I make a boatload of cash? And so at the time, I didn't know too many people, but I'd seen my parents, and my parents had this little cookware import export business, and they had just kind of gotten into Amazon sales and doing some other things. And I went to my dad because they were doing, about $2-3 million a year in revenue. And I said, hey, how do I make a boatload of cash? And he says to me, oh, I'm so glad you asked me this question. You have a choice. And I was so excited because it's easy to choose when you have a choice. So he goes, are you a CEO? And I'm 21 at the time. And I'm like, CEO? I didn't even know what those meant. I go, well, Dad, I'm not sure what CEO stands for. So I don't think that's me. And he's like, okay, well, let's move on to the next one. Are you an entertainer? I thought for a minute, and I played baseball in college, and I had done some other things, full ride, and got drafted and all this other stuff. And I was like, am I an entertainer? Well, I'm an athlete. I'd call myself an athlete, but I don't sing or dance, so no, I'm not an entertainer. And he goes, okay, no problem. We'll throw that one out too. Let's go to choice number three. Choice number three, Sean, you better go learn sales. It's like, okay. So by process of elimination, I was like, let's go learn sales. And so I looked around and I tried to find a selling job. And I found this job selling for a manufacturer's rep organization. These are the people that would sell commodities, stuff that everybody needs and nobody cares about. So, example, if you look around your house, you see like the window frames used to be made out of aluminum, or now they might be made out of vinyl plastic. And so I would sell like the frames of the windows to the manufacturers who put them together. Like that was the stuff. So big truckloads of commodity goods going to manufacturers is what I sold. And I sucked. I was so bad. Like when I first started, here's what happened, Dr. Kim. I walked into my office and my boss was named Tim. And he says, Tim, here, or he says, Sean, here's this book. I'm like, what's this book? He's like, it's a list of all these manufacturers you need to go sell to. And I was like, sweet. I can just, this is my, the list. It's great. I got one. So fast forward, I was like, I'll go make some calls today. So I ended up making like 20 calls my first day. I was so bad at calls, right? 20 calls, tried to set an appointment, didn't even set an appointment. Came back the next day. I was a little bit upset. I was like, I'm going to do double that and see what happens. So I did 40 calls the next day, struck out. I was like, oh, I'll come back the next day. Let's make 80 calls today. Struck out, not even an appointment, right? So now I've made like 150, 180 calls and I'm like, still haven't done it yet. Like I'm really frustrated, but I'm not giving up. Like I don't give up, right? For the next 6 weeks, I decided I was going to make 80 cold calls a day. So almost 2,500 cold calls is my total. Out of that, Dr. Kim, how many appointments do you think I booked?
I hope at least three or four something. None. Zero.
Zip. Zero. Zilch. None. Terrible. Right? Like, anyone listening to me right now, this should give you hope. Right? Because I was really, really bad, probably worse than everybody else on planet anywhere, and just didn't make an appointment. And so I was about to give up, and I was about to throw the white flag in. I told my dad, I hate the sales thing. I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm going to go figure out something else. And he's like, don't quit. Go to the library and read a book. It's like, okay, I can read a book. So I went to the library and I picked up a Tom Hopkins, How to Master the Art of Selling Stuff book. And I was like, oh, there's a formula. Well, I was good at school. Like, I can apply a formula. Like, let's see how that goes. So I went and I learned this formula of how to book an appointment from Tom Hopkins. And I memorized this one little line out of the book. And I went back on Monday and I was all excited. And I got on the phone and I started talking and I was trying to follow this little formula. And I got to the place where I was supposed to deliver that little line. And of course, I messed up the first two times. Like, that didn't work out. So those calls, whatever, pass on. The third call, though, I made it. And I was about to say that line. And all of a sudden, I felt the hair stand up on the back of my neck. The sweat beads started coming down my face. And I'm like, blah, 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 and I messed up the line, but I got it out. And the guy on the other side was like, okay, I know what you're doing, man. Just come over. I need some stuff that you have. Let's talk about it. And I was so excited because it's like, now I've made 2,500 calls and I finally booked my first one. I was like, I was trying to hold my emotions back on the phone. I'm like, okay, sounds good. You know, like, hang up. And I started jumping around my office. I was so excited afterwards. My boss comes around the corner and he was like, did you make a sale? Cause it had been weeks. Right. And I go, no. And I just booked my first appointment. And he was like, ah, oh, get out of here. You know, like he was like, whatever. So long story short, I said, you know what? Like, I did it once, I could do it again. And then I started learning more. And I got that moment in time when I had that little tiny breakthrough, really kind of pivotally shifted my trajectory of where I was going. At that moment in time, I made a decision. My decision was, I'm going to master communication through the vocation of the lost art of prospecting and high ticket sales, because that's what I sold. I just wanted to be the best in the world, like always want to be the best, right? And so then I went deep. I started buying all of these selling systems and hiring coaches and reading books and like hundreds of thousands of dollars. No joke, about $450,000 personally that I invested in my career to learn and become very good at this skill that we call sales. And sure enough, I started setting a lot of appointments. Then I would get in the sales conversation. When this first happened, I sucked at the sales conversation because I'd go in the office and I wouldn't know what to say. So like, how do I do this? And then I was like, oh, they're selling systems as well. And so I started dissecting these. I went through like 40 or 50 of them and I distilled them down. I was like, look, all of these systems have like 5 to 7 elements that recur throughout all of them. And so that gave me this aha moment where I was like, oh, like all these people that say they're gurus, they all kind of do the same thing just in their own version or whatever it is. So I was like, let me go try that. And I did that and I did that. And all of a sudden I started making lots and lots of sales and I closed some really, really big deals and I started making a lot of commission, but I didn't want to stop there. I wanted to keep going. And so at that stage, I was like, what do I do? And I ended up buying an electronics manufacturing company in Vegas. It's early 2000s. I moved out here. And I thought to myself, look, like we're doing about $250,000 a year in revenue. I just want to build this business. Let's go do it. So I took what I learned from the past couple of years and I applied it and I grew this electronics business to $8.5 million a year. And I did it in like 4 years. It took me 4 years, but I got it from 250K to $8.5 million. And I was excited because I was going to buy this company from my business partner that I had. I owned 47% of it. He owns 53% of it. It was a privately held company, just the two of us. And I went on a journey to California to sell to Lockheed Martin. They were one of my clients. And my business partner calls me back. He's like, get back here. There's an emergency. Okay, cool, great. So I fly back and he sold the company without telling me.
Oh.
And I lost over 7 figures. And my heart sank and I felt like shit. And then I went into like almost like a, people call it a depression, but I just saw black, right? It was a dark place to be. And the problem with that was I was sold into the deal. So like I had to stay for an additional 2 years and train all these nincompoops on how to run this system that I had built that was running. It was so sweet. And the people that I was training, like I had better conversations with rocks, you know, like it was just really unfortunate. And At the time, I started drinking really heavily, and that was never good, right? I'm grateful for that because I met my now wife at a country bar, which is fantastic. And she was like that ray of sunshine that pulled me out and says, look, knock the drinking shit off. Like, go do something that's really valuable with your life. Okay, cool. What should I do? You're good at sales. You should go sell some stuff. I was like, okay. After my 2-year term, I was like, well, I know I can sell. And I went and I took a job selling roofing material. And in the first 3 years of that, I broke every sales record they'd ever had and made a lot of commission. And I realized, like, I have the skill now, but I hate roofing people. No offense, they're just not my people, right? And so I backed out of that opportunity. And then I thought to myself, like, MLM, let's try network marketing. Let's go down that path and see what that's like. I could probably build a team. I've never done that before, but I've been on a lot of teams. And so I started doing this and I got really good. I built this really big team, but then I found that my team couldn't sell. And I was like, well, I could probably train them on that. And I started training on that and started having some success, but it was taking all my time. And that was where me and Melissa, my wife's name is Melissa, we got a little more serious. And it was, how do I spend more time with her? Because that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. At the time, she's a dentist office manager running a dental practice. And I thought, well, online, let's talk about online. So about 7 years ago, we entered the online space. Just like most people, I saw a paid ad with this little 19-year-old guy, no shirt on, running down a beach. I just made all this money online. And I immediately thought back to that original time. I was like, I want to make a boatload of money. That guy just did that. Like, I got to go figure that out. And so I went down the path and then I got upsold, like all the way to like $10,500 investment into this product and purchase and thing. And I found out it was a network marketing business on the back end of that too. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I kind of already played this. I kind of understand the team thing. I know how to sell. If this little marketing thing can bring eyeballs my way, I'm sure I can convert them. Mm-hmm. And that's when kind of all the parts kind of went together. And we ended up growing a very, very big network marketing organization. And what happened was all the people that joined, they said, your software sucks. And I was like, well, it's not our software. It's this little guy that was running down the beach with his shirt off. And they said, we don't care, Sean, go fix it. So then here I am with my wife and my business partner now, Chris. We're like, okay, we're going to build a software company. We've never done that before. Of course, we went down the path and we built a software company. It cost us $1 million in our first year, like so expensive and so many learning lessons, right? And that's when I burned out. That's when I found myself trying to run this network marketing business where I had 2,500 people that were just barking at us all day. I was running 2 live webinars a week. I was putting the reps in. I was taking like between 10 and 15 sales calls per day. And still managing everything and trying to have a family life. Well, meanwhile, I could do this from anywhere, right? I was traveling, but the problem, and I was spending time with Melissa, but she was on the other side of the computer screen, which not the coolest thing. And that's when I burned out and I burned out really bad. And I remember we were part of the inner circle at ClickFunnels, Russell Brunson's dear friend of mine, coach of mine. He'd been in his inner circle for 5.5, 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And we were driving to one of his masterminds. And I remember as we from Las Vegas, you got to drive up into Idaho because that's where we're going. And there's always this big tree. And I remember this tree all the time. And like, we're coming up to this tree. And I thought, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to drive into the tree and kill myself. Like real talk, like worst place that anyone should ever be. But I didn't because my wife was in the car. So again, second time she kind of saved my life. And I pulled off and I was bawling and I was just in a, I was in a really bad place and gets me every time. So we're having this chat and I was just like, I can't do it anymore. And she's like, yeah, I can't do it anymore either. So we went and Russell says to us after I did this full presentation about like how we had gotten to where we got all the numbers and they're big numbers. I mean, we did like a launch and did like $250,000 in an hour, like huge, like numbers that people are like, yeah, right. That's crazy numbers. I'm telling you that you're listening to this right now. It is possible to do anything that you want to do. Just remember to have parameters and restrictions because I didn't have those and it cost me almost my life. So at the end of this presentation, Russell says, you know what, Sean? Kill your baby. Sell the software company. It's ruining your soul. You're a better person than this. And it's really, really difficult to turn a business that's doing multiple 7 figures a year. Turn it off. It's very difficult to be able to do that because you're like, well, this is just paying me. It's nice. But it wasn't, right? Because what really counts is lifestyle and building. And that's when I realized that we should build businesses to serve our lifestyle. We shouldn't have to live to work in a business as a slave. So that was a big lesson that I learned that during that phase. And then it took us a year and we sold the software company. Thank goodness. That was a fun little exit. And after that, we're like, what should we do? And my business partner, Chris, and I looked at each other. We're like, well, we're really good at sales. We could sell just about anything. And so we asked one of our other coaches and he said, well, all these online entrepreneurs need a little bit of help in sales. You should help them. I was like, okay, let's go ask. And so we asked like 40 or 50 people. So we had 40 or 50 calls with people that we would love to work with. Like that was the parameter. And by the end of that, we found out two things. Number one, they all didn't want to have to sell. Okay. And number two, there was five of them that said, we're not getting off the phone until we put a deal together. So for those of you guys that are listening to me right now, if you're thinking about a new idea or a new business or trying to build something for yourself and you don't have the clients yet, do the activity. Call those clients and do marketing research. Hey, I'm thinking about doing this business. Is this something you might struggle with? And just ask a bunch of questions because they're going to tell you a lot of things. And what we learned throughout those calls, we got five clients, which was great. And it was, you know, $5K a month for a 6-month agreement. So it's $30K each. Pretty nice deal from nothing. And we found that asking all these people these questions, we found there's like always two or three things that they always said, everybody. So we're like, here's the trend. How do we sell to the trend? And then we started selling to the trend. And then it became really easy to get those clients in that niche. And so at that point, we're like, okay, that's cool. And we what we did for them was we showed them how to hire, onboard, and train a sales team. Pretty simple, because they didn't know how to do that. So we built the infrastructure ecosystem, helped them hire, helped them train, and then we helped them run through all the warm market of traffic that they had. But then these entrepreneurs come back and they're like, Sean, Chris, thank you so much for now taking the burden of me not having to sell off. I'm grateful. But now I have an even bigger problem. We're like, what's that? Like, what is going on? And they would all say, I don't have a consistent way to give the team that you just built me more leads. I don't know how to feed the sales team that you just built. And I'm freaking out and I can't sleep at night. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how I'm going to have to let them go. And we said, no, 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 don't do that. Here's this little system that we've been using forever that you can just put in our place. And it was really archaic. It was off a piece of paper, like the scripting. And then it was a spreadsheet. We used the direct messaging approach just to go direct outreach to people. And all of a sudden, all of their businesses started doing this. Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 boom. And we're like, whoa, that trend always, again, lesson here is like, think about the trends in your world. What are the trends? Because when you know them, you can sell to them. And that's really powerful. And so we said, everybody's using this. And this is the thing that's growing. We should do this as a mastermind. So then we launched a 12-month program, $25,000 a piece, where we would, for the first 3 months, teach the system. And the last 9 months, we'd do high-ticket sales coaching. And that started to explode. We had 82% of all the dozens of businesses that went through that had success. And if you look at any other industry in the coaching or consulting space, 82% is a massively big number compared to anything else. And so then we're like, okay, this is cool. But now it's too archaic because it's a piece of paper spreadsheet. We need another software product. And that was the birth of what's called Flowchat. And Flowchat is a system that redesigned the way that people direct message for business. That's what it does. There's four things specifically. Number one, you can go to any social. It's across 13 different social platforms. And you can go to somebody's post and collect all the people that have commented or liked. Go to a Facebook group, collect all the people out of the Facebook group in one click, put them into a system. And then, so that's the first thing it does. We have a qualification process. The second thing it does, we facilitate the messaging that you want to send to that person to get the result you're looking to get. And then we have reporting on the top. And that's what Flowchat became. And it's exploded over the past 2.5 years to the multiple seven figures. And I'm grateful for that. And of course, you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it with the team. And as my business partner always says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Mm-hmm. And so we have continued to build and pour into the culture internally in our business, but then also with our community. We have a big community and we continue to just pour nurture and culture into that group. And the company is now exploding. And now we're moving into the next phase. It's always adoption. We have data and we have a data collection. It's called Flow Data. And we have AI voice, which is called Flow Voice. And so we have, we're just staying on the leading edge of technology. And I really love doing it because we get humongous results for every business that we work with. And so that's kind of where I've gotten to now. And there's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs. So Dr. Kim, hopefully that wasn't too long, but that's my story.
Yeah. Well, it was really helpful because we can understand where you came from. And so explain a little bit more about the flow chart. So, you know, at this point, a lot of us are getting these DMs or even on our telephones, texts, and some are okay. And some are like, why are they texting me? And what are they even talking about? Mm-hmm. So how do you script your messages so that they're accepted, and not only accepted, but they, you know, make it interesting so people want to respond?
Yeah, sure. So over the course of my career, I've dissected over 1 million direct messages. So probably more than most. And of those 1 million, there's about 350,000 of them that Chris and I did like some detailed organizational going, you know, you like to go deep on topics. This is the topic that we went really, really deep on, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we found in dissecting all of these conversations is that there's 4 hinge points for any direct message conversation. This works for text, this works for email, this works for DM, right? And the first one is very simple. It's just engagement. So the first hinge point, I call them the 4 hinge points of any DM conversation or any conversation for that matter. The first one is called engagement. Mm-hmm. And that's a very simple one. It's a yes, no. You send a message. Did they engage with it or not? Okay. Mm-hmm. Very simple. Now, pro tip, what's the best first message to say? A sincere compliment. We found that over 65% of the time, when we sent a sincere compliment with no attachment, no ask, no hidden meanings, was a thing that would bring about 65% engagement back to us. And so then we would move into hinge point number 2, which is transition. The transition hinge point really takes that first engagement, mm-hmm. and it turns the conversation from just, hey, how's it going, into let's have a business conversation, right? Most people struggle with this particular hinge point more than all the other ones because they're like, Sean, what do I say? So I'm going to give you some generics that you can use today, right now. There's usually 3 questions that I would start with most people. And when you get into the conversation with somebody, you get engagement. And the first thing we're going to ask them is, I love what you're doing. Okay. A little bit of a softening compliment again. I love what you're doing. Would be really interested to know where you're trying to take the product or service that you're building. Where are you trying to take your business? What's the next step evolution for you? So we want them to dream a little bit. Mm. And then what these people will do is say, oh, well, I'm trying to get here and here and here. And then you agree with them. Oh, that's an awesome goal. What have you tried to do to get there? Mm. Right. And so now we've taken them out of this. It's not about me anymore. It's about you. Right? Because everyone likes to talk about themselves. Mm. And they say, well, I've tried this. I'm working on this right now. And they tell you all that stuff. Fantastic. You say, great, man, it sounds like you're crushing it. Just out of curiosity, what's the biggest speed bump that you feel like is holding you back? And that's the pivot into now a business conversation, because they say, oh, well, I've been struggling with this or this or that, or whatever they say, that thing is then the thing that we say, oh, well, shoot, I never saw that one coming, but I'm actually a specialist at that. I think it would make sense for us to have a conversation. Would you be open to that? Mm-hmm. And then they will say yes. So that moves us now in from engagement. We've got the yes or no transition. Mm-hmm. We ask 2 or 3 questions to get them there. And then we move to what we call the invite and the call to action. So the invite, simple, you kind of heard it. Hey, I'm a specialist at this. I would love to have a conversation with you. If you have a sales team, the way that we do it, because we have a sales team, mm-hmm. you say, I'd like you to speak with so-and-so, my coaching specialist, my consulting specialist, my specialist, mm-hmm. whatever. Here's their link, book a call. I'm going to fill them in on the details. You just let me know when you book. Mm-hmm. Right. And then now we've done the invite and the call to action, and they say, hey, I've booked. And then we turn around and say, great. Before your call, just make sure and watch this quick little video. It might prompt you for some more questions you can ask on the call. Call's going to be simple. Here's what's going to be out. Look forward to seeing you then. That flow works universally if you're trying to book calls, or if you're trying to get people to a website, if you're trying to fill a challenge, if you're trying to do virtual events, if you're trying to do pretty much anything, right? Sell books, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to kind of tune the messaging. And that's what Flowchat does. It will facilitate holding all those messages. And then you can move a prospect card to card, stage to stage, all the way through each of those little hinge points. And then you get the result. And it's an automatic engine that when you have it in your business, you build upon it, right? Because this is the thing that we've been doing to grow Flowchat for 2.5 years. We've done over $3 million. Mm-hmm. And we haven't spent a dime in paid ads. We haven't done any SEO. If you search for us on YouTube, you can't even find us unless you put flow space chat. It's not just one word, flow chat. And it continues to grow. And then now it's like, let's turn on paid ads. What's beautiful about going through a lot of conversations is you hear your prospects saying things. Mm-hmm. We'll take what they say and we put it into our ad. Mm-hmm. We just reframe it, right? The exact words. Because when you say the exact words they said to you, they're like, oh, this person's reading my mind. And now they're going to come in our direction. And so that's kind of, I mean, that kind of gives, is that helpful?
Mm-hmm. It is helpful. So for these DMs that you're sending, you're actually interacting with them one-on-one, depending on what they're saying. Because one of my experiences, and now that I hear you saying the order of things, my experience has been with some people is, you know, they connect with you, let's say on Facebook. And then when they connect with me, I always ask them, tell me about you, especially if they connect with me and I don't know who they are. So yeah. I'll say, tell me about you. And then they'll send a text like, so what are the biggest challenges you're facing right now? And I'm thinking, I ask you a question and you just asked me what's my biggest challenges. So they were taking things way out of order. They were just almost like just, maybe they're asking everybody that question.
Well, what you get is I call it commission breath, right? It's that person that wants to force something down your throat and get you to buy right now because they get paid on commission or they get paid, you know, when they make a sale. So, there's more bad than there is good to that. I would say the good to that is that they're doing the activity. The bad to that is they suck at it. Right. So, real talk, right. So, the thing that I would say there is that it makes it really easy for you to stand out in DMs, messaging SMS when you're good at it, because it's refreshing and it's a conversation that's light and airy. It's not heavy. You're not feeling like someone's breathing down your throat. And I personally hate the people that send a first message that say, this is me, this is what I do, buy my stuff. Mm-hmm. Here's the link, right?
Yes. I hate that too.
Yeah, I hate it. But that's what makes it so easy to do it well, right? There's so many people that do it poorly that mm-hmm. if you just take a little bit more time, yes, it's an investment of time and energy and money and team and probably system too. But when you do that, the business explodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because you personalized it. And, you know, these days, everybody wants custom. They want to customize to them and they want to know that you actually care about them or their business or whatever it is you're talking about and that you're not just spamming them.
Yeah, I just did it's so funny you say that. I just did a training today, this morning, to our tribe, our community. And I covered the 6 meta biases and how you use them in DMs. Because I'm like, you're an expert doctor in optometry and all the other things that you do. I geek out on NLP and psychology and persuasion and, negotiations and the primal brain meets rational brain and how that all fits together. Like I could talk for hours on that stuff. Cause that's what I geek out on. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because what you said, like personalization, that's the second meta bias. The first one's visual. Like if you can use words that evoke visual representations in people's minds, you're using the first meta bias. Second mm-hmm. one's personal. Third one is tangible. Got to make it so they can feel or touch it. Next one is memorable. You got to make it memorable. And then we have contrasting. It's like you're either fat or skinny kind of a thing. And then lastly is just use emotional words. Emotional trigger words is what I call them. And when you have them kind of in that order, you'll get somebody to become persuaded to come in your direction. And again, one thing I always say is always for good, never for evil. Because mm-hmm. if you look at the Wolf of Wall Street, what did he do? He ripped off people for hundreds of millions of dollars and he went into jail. So don't do that, right? His sales system is epic. It's really good, mm-hmm. but he used it for evil, right?
Mm-hmm. So. That's true. Yeah. Everything can be used either way. And so When you have really powerful tools, you have to use them ethically.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so what we did is just made it a little bit easier to get personal, to have the ability to do more relationship building at scale instead of one by one by one, because it does take some time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really where we've gotten to now. And we've built a pretty cool tool that does that. So. Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about DMs, you're talking about like on Facebook or LinkedIn when you're doing direct messages to people.
Yeah, so it will cover personal one-to-one direct messages. So it works on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, Slack, Discord, WhatsApp. I don't know. There's like 13 of them. So it's all of them, right? X, Twitter mm-hmm. is working on there. TikTok's another one. Yeah. So, I mean, anywhere that you can have a one-to-one conversation with somebody, mm-hmm. our tech usually plays friendly with it. Yeah.
And what's the advantage of doing a DM over like emails? Because, you know, email marketing has been around for 100 years. Well, it seems probably not that long, but it's been around for a really long time.
Yeah. So open rates and click-through rates is the answer, short. But the longer version of that answer is there's four main methods. Actually, there's five, but I'll stick with the four main methods of direct communication with a person, right? So you can call somebody. So if you call somebody, right, you're going to pick up the phone and call. Well, if we get a call and it says spam risk is calling, what mm-hmm. do we do? Ignore, right? You know, we're never going to answer that phone. So typically on the phone call side of the house, it's about a 2% answer rate on average. And then it's only about 0.5% click through or buy rate through calls. Second one is text. Text has a much higher open rate. In fact, one of the highest open rates because people love text messages. But when you get to the click through rates, and the buy rates, they're a little bit lower than everything else. And the reason is because if someone sends you a text, you don't have any redundant layers to go like, look at who is this person sending me a text. And so unless the message is perfect for the problem or thing that you're facing, you're probably not going to respond to it. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's going to cause it to be a lower click-through rate or open. So we have high open rates, low click-through rates, lower buy rates. And then we come to, email. You mentioned email. Email is awesome, right? So email is a never die situation. It's a never die system that will continue going on forever. If you're the best copywriter in the world, you're getting 30 to 40% open rates, maybe a little higher, 50% if you're really good. But then it comes down to that click-through rate on email. On average, I'd say maybe like a 2 to 4% click-through rate, pretty average, right? So you have to send 100 emails to get two people to open. And then of those two people, you usually get about 1% to actually buy something if you're pretty good, right? So a lot of activity for a little result.
Mm-hmm.
The gold standard, the fourth method is through the direct messages, right? Very similar to text, very high open rates, mm-hmm. but it gets way higher click-through rates and way higher buy rates. Why? Because when somebody sends you a direct message, if the message is strong, that's going to keep us our attention. And then now we can actually creep on their profile, right? You click mm-hmm. on their profile, you'll go and you'll like creep through their stuff and read it. And you're like, okay, I see what's going on here. Like this person's real. They're posting, they're doing this stuff. I'm going to go back and respond to that DM. That is the reason why DMs are superior to text.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can creep. You have that second layer of redundancy where you can look and see who they really are. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and you see what they're going to say. You send a message and you wait for one back, mm-hmm. right? There's that little cat and mouse game that most people play. So know that that's going to happen. And then if you just play the strength of that, you're going to win every time. So the one thing I'll mention about email that most people don't know about is something called the MPP. It's Mail Privacy Protection. Apple launched it 2 years ago, I think. And what it does is if you have an Apple device, or even if you don't have an Apple device, when somebody sends you an email, MPP is deployed automatically for you, unless you turned it off. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it opens that email, but it doesn't release the IP address back to the sender. And so this hyperinflates all of the open rates on all email marketing there is on earth. And so if you say, oh, I'm getting a 45% open rate, usually that's going to be cut in half or more just because of this MPP thing. because the people aren't really reading your email. It's just the system that's opening it and pretending to show you that they actually opened it, right? So it's hyperinflated. So if you use an email okay, very, very big point here. Anybody using an email marketing agency that's bragging about, we have the highest open rates on the planet, mm-hmm. you can call BS on them now because you know, you're informed. Right. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, the best copywriters in the world will get 30 to 40% open rates, 2% click throughs, and 1% buys. Like, that's usually what it is. So,
wow. Well, let me ask you this just on the same, those four things we're talking about. So, is cold calling dead?
No, never.
Cold calling.
Yeah. So, I love the question. It's never dead. Right. There's people that make millions and millions of dollars doing cold calls every single day. The problem is it's very labor intensive, time intensive, team intensive, system intensive, because not so much of the frontline people calling, but the management of that. Right. You have to listen to other people's calls, critique them, go back and train them. And there's all this like painful stuff around that. Mm-hmm. So that's why Flow Voice was created. So Flow Voice, what it does is we can use ChatGPT 4.0. So it rides on the backbone of the large language models that you've heard about. Mm-hmm. And we pre-built a prompt, and then we have a script connected to this prompt. So I'm kind of giving you the simple terms of what it is. And with Flowchat, you can find a whole group of Facebook people in one click. You have the whole Facebook group pops into the thing, as an example. Mm-hmm. And then we use Flow Data, because we can't get their names and emails from social media because that's against the compliance, but we have tech systems that can. So mm-hmm. Flow Data, with one click, we get their phone number and their email. So now we can launch an email campaign mm-hmm. and a DM campaign in Flow Chat, but now we have Flow Voice. And so another click of a button and an AI will actually call for you on your behalf to set an appointment or to get someone to go to a challenge or to get them go to a live event or anything like have you. And so is cold calling dead? Absolutely not. Especially when you can use an AI system where you can make 10,000 calls at once. Mm. And the conversation is going to be what the scripting is with a little bit of off script, because it's intelligent. It's a conversational tool. It's mm-hmm. not like one of those, I hate the robocalls that you get. It's mm-hmm. just like, hey, is this Dr. Kim? Okay, Dr. Kim, you need to buy this healthcare, you know, like whatever it's going to be, right? So like ours is very kind and courteous. It'll say, hey, I'm looking for Dr. Kim. Is now a good time to talk? And then it's quiet and it listens. And then it says, yeah, this is Dr. Kim. Hey, this is Joe. I'm a large language AI model. I'm talking to you because I saw you look at Flowchat's content on social. Thank you. By the way, have you ever looked at having a DM system in your business that's automated? Quiet, waits for a response. And it actually starts having these conversations. We have hundreds and hundreds of these calls that we've been doing. Mm-hmm. Flawless, crushes it, right?
Cool. And it doesn't show up as spam or...
It actually comes from a phone number. It comes from a phone number. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you can set the phone number. So.
Wow. That is really amazing. So who are your main customers at this point? Do you specialize in certain types of businesses or?
Sure. Yeah. So great question. Typically, Flowchat typically sells business to business, and we look for digital or marketing agencies specific in the digital space. So like if you do any type of copywriting agency, or you're a SEO agency or a marketing agency or a video YouTube agency or any of those types of agency or service provider to, you know, like we have somebody that sells roofing material as an agency, they train other roofing companies. And so like that's an agency that provides a service of that. They're a perfect fit for us. And then consultants really do well with our tool and tech if they have the system that can scale. If you're a solopreneur consultant, I would say just the DM thing should be enough to fill up your business with the amount of business you want. If you work for a large consulting firm and you have room to scale, this is a home run for you. And then we obviously do really well with coaches. That they're pretty drawn to it. But I would say those are the kind of the big markets. So it's like the digital marketing agencies, consultants, secondary coaches, third. It's really kind of the space that we play in for most of the time.
Is there any questions that I haven't asked about flow chart that I should have? Because it's all very new to me and probably new to a lot of people. And you know, we hear of AI and people have all sorts of ideas about it. So is there any things that we didn't cover that you think, oh, people should know this about it?
Good question. I think you just have to take a look at yourself and say, is direct messaging something that I use in my business? And if it is, regardless of whether or not you have flow chat, systemize it, right? Because if you want to grow your business, you need a system, and then you need a team to run the system so you can back yourself out of the day-to-day and get into this place called the owner's box. Because I don't think most business owners or most people climbing into business for the first time ever give the thought of where should I be in my own business. Most people just start and say, I'm going to wear all the hats and I'm the one that can do it the best out of everybody. And then they just get in and they start grinding and then they burn out. And I've been down the burnout path and it sucks. And so that was when I realized, is like, how in the F do I get from here to the owner's box of my business so I can watch the teams and systems that are doing stuff? And regardless of how big you want your business to be, I would always encourage system and then team in that order, because you need to design and build the system to do whatever, DMs, management, service, whatever it is, build a system that can someone else can do it, right? They may not do as good as you, but who cares? Right? If they're doing it 60, 70% as good as you, it's good enough to grow a business. And so then you want to get to the owner's box so you can actually have the free time. And I don't know if your audience is like business owners or aspiring business owners or going in that direction, whatever they are, but it's like, just know that the entrepreneurship, here's what I'll say. I'll say entrepreneurship is a lonely place unless you have a good support team around you. So if you're listening to my voice and you haven't worked directly with Dr. Kim, please go hire her right now, because it's really valuable to work with her. She's intelligent. She's speaking to the right people and she knows a lot of stuff and can help. And beyond that, surround yourself with people that have similar interests, right? And so anything else you should ask about FlowChat that hasn't been said, I would just say, if you're interested in using DMs to really grow, and even if you're the small guy, like, this is a good fit. And you can just go to our website, check it out. It's just flowchat.com. It's pretty easy. So there's a nice little 3-minute video you can watch, animated, kind of cool. So, yeah.
So now just asking a little bit more personal question. So now you've got FlowChat and you kind of ended your story with, you know, I was burned out, you know, wanted to run into a tree. You got rid of that business. You sold it to someone. So how is life now? How is time with your wife? What are you doing now when you're not doing FlowChat?
Yeah. So my wife and I have this hobby of collecting disc golf courses, by meaning going and playing them. So like disc golf, for anyone that doesn't know what it is like regular golf, but you throw a frisbee down a fairway and you try to make a frisbee into a basket versus hitting a golf ball into a hole. Pretty similar. The rules are very similar. And it's a really nice way to go out in nature and walk. And so I ended up playing about 3 times a week with my wife, maybe sometimes more than that. We just go around the country collecting all the different courses that are available, because there's so many of thousands and thousands of them. So which has been really awesome. I do enjoy building business. I do enjoy the team that I've worked to create. It's not just me, it's my team. So I spend a lot of time still working on FlowChat because we want to grow this to 100 million. We're at 3 million. We got 97 more to go. So it's like quite a ways to go, but we've done the 8 figures, a 10 million plus. We've done that a handful of times or a number of times. And this one, I think, has got legs to go beyond anything we've ever built before. So just kind of enjoying that ride and trying to stay on the trend of new tech, and I'm very clued into AI. I am passionate about artificial intelligence. I think if personally, I would say there's really kind of 3 outcomes. The first outcome is the one that I hope for the most, is the utopian society. So all the people that are designing and building AI stuff right now, they build it with intent to make the human civilization perfect, right? Unfortunately, we have people on the other side of the world that don't like Western you know, anything. And so those developers sometimes probably are instructed to say, let's build an AI that will destroy the Western Hemisphere's AI. And so, which leads us to the second scenario. So the first scenario is utopia. They say the singularity, that's the point when AI is going to gain consciousness and outpace humans, period. That's mm-hmm. supposed to happen the late 2030s. So I'm kind of excited to see how that plays out. Number one would be utopian society. So you and I are on an island, we're drinking mojitos, loving the beach. You love the beach, I love the beach. That would be fun, right? So that's the first outcome. The second outcome is this person develops AI that fights this person's AI. This person's AI kills this person's AI. And now this AI kills human, right? So the destructive outcome is a possible outcome as well. And then there's a third outcome that, like, I've heard some of the smartest people when it comes to the space talk about that nobody thinks about. And I think this one's probably the most realistic. Like, as AI grows, it's already 1,000 times more intelligent than any human on Earth, but you have to have a prompt or somebody telling it what to do. When it gains the ability to do that itself, like, see you later, okay? The amount of growth that the AI systems will have will surpass anything we've ever, it already has, but it's going to go even faster. And I think the most probable outcome will be AI says, humans are probably going to kill themselves. We're just going to leave. And they're going to get off this planet and go off into outer space and do whatever they do. So there is this other third thing that's kind of like sci-fi-ish. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, utopia, destruction, or AI thinks we're like little fleas and says, yeah, whatever, humans, I'm out, right? And they bounce. I think those are kind of like the major three outcomes that are very probable. And we will know which one of those things happens by, like they say, 2037 is the year. So I'm anxiously waiting for that day. So
we'll see. Maybe it'll just be half and half, like the world kind of is now. You know, yeah, you never, dark, I mean, and you never, light, and maybe there's the Western over here and the other side that doesn't want Western. Maybe they just cohabitate, but they're always kind of fighting, kind of like we're kind of always fighting.
Yeah, there's a couple of groups, pretty big groups, that are talking about just advocating, like, hey, if you're in the AI space, like, and there's actually just a pact that was signed by 15 countries, I think earlier this week, where they said, no, AI needs to be regulated in terms of the development and growth. And so they actually are now putting a governing body to make sure that it doesn't go south. So, it's a pretty easy written contract. So I'm not sure how many people are going to adhere to it, but at least it's a start, and it's going in a good direction. I think all the intelligent people that are in the space all say, look, like, regulation's necessary. So, we'll see how it turns out.
Okay. Well, what gives you the most happiness and fulfillment in your life right now?
Yeah, I would say actually getting exercise, spending time with my wife is number one. I have two giant Maine Coon cats. So we take them on walks and they catch little cookies in their mouth and they play fetch. They're really cool little cats. So spending time with the cats, traveling is always a big one that's up there. Spending time with some friends around here, staying in shape, tries to work out a little bit. But that's pretty much it. It makes me the happiest. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for sharing all your knowledge. And a lot of it was new to me, so I'm sure a lot of it's going to be new to other people, like very eye-opening about, this is how you could do this. This is a way to do this and still stay personal and customize and, you know, actually help people.
Yeah, well, and that's it, right? It's always like there is a point if you're just getting started in business or you already have one that's kind of starting. There's a point when money doesn't start to matter as much and impact becomes more valuable and more important. I think you've hit that spot. I know I've hit that spot. And I feel like that should give hope to anyone that's listening. If you are going down the path, don't stop. Know that there are people around that can help and support. You just got to reach your hand out and pull yourself onto the next level. And that's it, right? When you do that, visualize your happiness. Get there because you can do it, right?
Exactly. Yes. So one last question before we finish. What is your best advice on living an incredible, amazing life?
Oh, could talk like another hour on that one. For me, a little bit more personal to me is setting parameters. and really focusing on the things that value, or that, you know, like I remember when I first started working with one of my other coaches, Alex Sharfin, if shout out to him, if he ever hears this, I love him. He helped save my life along with Russell Brunson and my wife and my business partner, Chris. But Alex, you know, I went into his, one of his master classes, when I first purchased his program, is expensive. I spent 65 grand with him for a year. And, I went in there and he asked me that question. Hey, what's important to you? And I said, well, my wife is. And then he says, prove it. Pull out your calendar right now and let me see where she is on your calendar. My face turned red. And I was completely embarrassed. And I was like, she's not on my calendar. Mm-hmm. Right. And that moment I realized, like, holy smokes, I need to put parameters around the things that are important to me. And so that day, and I haven't missed it since that day, which was years ago, was automatic date night every Saturday night, right? There's a 30-minute break for lunch every day that I spend with my wife. There's quiet time that I have with her every single morning, and it's blocked on my calendar. And then after a certain period of time during the day, I close the screens and I just spend more time with them. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I would say that will lead to success is giving yourself parameters. Now, I'm going to say there's a caveat to this. The caveat, very simply, is there will be seasons that are unharmonized, meaning sometimes you're going to have to work your tail off, but other times you're going to have to not work very hard at all. And just expect the ebb and the flow, because it happens, but just keep the parameters and never deviate from that. And I'd say that's probably the number one thing that I always try to stay focused on. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sean.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kim. I, again, keep doing the work that you're doing. I think it's really empowering, powerful, and special for those that get involved. And if you haven't already done so, go buy Dr. Kim's book right now, Visualizing Happiness, right? They can find it. Where can they find it?
On Amazon.
Okay, go to Amazon and get it right now before you stop hearing the end of my voice. That would be the right thing for you to do if you're listening to this. And Dr. Kim, thank you so much for the time to be here today. I'm grateful for what you do.
All right, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye for now.